Our next case is In Re, the application of Harper. That's case 14-1552. Mr. Will?
Madam Chief Justice, may it please the court. My name is Daniel Wilt, and I represent Mr. Harper. And I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. What I'd like to do here today is to kind of flesh out the current Byron Harper. This court has held in the past that what the board, No, you've changed the name of the board, and I don't remember what the new name is, but the Board of Character and Fitness is supposed to be doing is to forging a discussion on Mr. Harper's current character, current moral fitness, not necessarily what happened 10 years ago. Or even 5 years ago.
Well, but one's character, a judgment about one's character does include your life's work, does it not?
Yes, it does. But I think people can evolve.
Well, sure they can, but we have plenty of lawyers. There's not a shortage. And the background or what one has done in the past, it's never going to get off the scales. You may do other things that demonstrate that prior bad acts should have less weight as time goes on.
And that's what I'd like to suggest to the court, that yes, there's no doubt, no one's going to say that Mr. Harper did not make mistakes. I'm not going to say that. Mr. Harper's not going to say that. He made mistakes. But he's also learned from those mistakes. He spent 8 months in a federal penitentiary. He had a lot of time to think about the mistakes that he made. And he testified to the board. He admitted to the board on countless occasions that, yeah, he made mistakes. He also told the board what he has done in his life to change that behavior. He set forth to the board how he has changed his accounting practice, how he approaches clients a lot differently now than he did in the past.
I understand that, but if I've read this correctly, during the presentation, the panel inquired about the status of your client's past debts. And he indicated to them that he had no debts and that the obligations that he had been taken care of. And then in response, he provided a credit report which identified several debts past due and several in collection. And that raised in the mind of the panel how forthright he was and his ability to stand for his integrity and truthfulness to the board. And that's one of the concerns that we have in terms of going forward connection with this application of Mr. Harper.
Mr. Harper did supply the credit report. Now, Mr. Arnold.
The difficulty is supplying the credit report was fine, but it was at odds with what he had represented to the panel members. And that is the difficulty.
I understand that. And
how would you have us view that? I mean, this isn't past. This is something that's very current. This is something that happened in connection with this application and doesn't relate to the past.
I would respond with two comments, I guess. First of all, the credit report, we never had an opportunity of presenting our side in response to the credit report. The credit report does say that there were some outstanding bills. It also disputes what Mr. Arnold said, because Mr. Arnold asked Mr. Harper about some debts that were in one of his bankruptcy petitions that aren't even on his credit report. But to answer your question, the difficulty is we didn't have a chance to respond. There can be explanations. They're not in the record. They're not before you. And this is one of the objections that we have filed, because we didn't get a chance to respond. And I think the board should have, which I think the board can do, I think the board, when it saw that, knowing that we had no chance to respond, could have scheduled another hearing and allowed us to present to the board Mr. Harper's response. And I think that is something maybe this court should do, is to send it back to the board with instructions to allow us to present an explanation from Mr. Harper as to what's going on here. I mean, there has to be fairness.
Well, counsel, in addition to the problems that Justice O'Donnell has described here, didn't the panel find that your client was not as forthcoming and honest about his involvement with the for the reason that he was in federal prison? He shirked, or I guess directed more blame to unscrupulous clients rather than his role here.
That was their interpretation.
That was their interpretation, and it's been, you know, presented to us that the panel was not convinced that the applicant's role was as described, and the panel believes the applicant is attempting to minimize his wrongdoing. That does not suggest that he has learned a lesson. As you started out your presentation to us today, is that, you know, people make mistakes and they evolve and they learn their lessons, and he had a lot of time to think in prison. And yet, whatever thinking he did, he certainly didn't put forth to the panel the appropriate information.
Well, with all due respect, I think he did. I think he testified to the best of his ability as to what happened. They interpreted, obviously, one way, but Mr. Harper, I mean, there are quite a few pages in the transcript about the fact that he messed up. And but interestingly,
and you know, of course, sir, that there are plenty, the vast majority of individuals who go through law school and get out of law school without committing crime. And to say that, you know, special consideration, reconsideration, another bite at the apple, let me explain it further, He did have the opportunity. He was fully apprised of his due process in this hearing process. He was given every opportunity. And it seems to me that there are situations of your client's own making that have just undone him.
Was there any report from a doctor? We have Dr. Metz's information regarding mental health back in 2010. The hearing on this application was in 2014. At that time, was there anything to speak to his mental fitness, and et cetera?
Yes, we introduced as evidence a letter from Dr. Metz dated April 14, 2014, I believe. And that letter indicated that Mr. Harper was fully compliant with her medical treatment plans. They had finally reached a point where the medications were helping him as opposed to hurting him, and that, at least in her medical opinion, he could function normally. I guess my time is up.
Actually, you have, how much did you reserve?
5.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chief Justice, may it please the court. Attorney Michael Kreveling here on behalf of the Akron Bar Association. Obviously, I'm here in a slightly unusual manner in that I really only represent the Akron Bar Association. And back in 2011, in January, I was one of the interviewers for Mr. Harper. 4 years later, we had the hearing in front of the panel.
Counsel, why was there such a long delay?
That was all on behalf of the petitioner, Your Honor. I was simply notified that there will be something scheduled down the road. In fact, I think about a year and a half down the road, I actually called and said, "Hey, I've got a big file sitting here. Why aren't we doing anything?" And
what'd you call on that?
Your Honor, I called whoever had sent me the original notice and file.
Okay.
Had a phone number there. And they said that it had not yet been scheduled. Eventually it was scheduled, and again, we did have the hearing.
I'm a little unclear, though. But are you saying then it was the respondent that wanted that long delay?
That is my understanding. And the reason I have that understanding, Your Honor, is because I was told that Mr. Harper now has counsel, and we are scheduling a hearing. And that's how it came to be. I bring that up only because of the due process argument that has been brought to the court. It seems that an incredible amount of due process has been provided.
Counsel, I have a question about due process here. I'm looking at your report. It's a 2014 report, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
You guys do a good job, and we're very happy with what you do. But you quote extensively about some very damaging information by Dr. Metz, the psychologist, correct?
No, Your Honor, I don't quote that. I'm there on behalf of the Akron Bar Association.
I'm looking at the recommendation, but I don't see anything in this recommendation indicating that Dr. Metz has recanted or that this is a new person 4 years later. Why is that?
Your Honor, a little bit of background on that in order to answer that question.
I'm looking at the report and recommendation. I want to make sure we're talking about the same document.
Yeah, we certainly are, Your Honor. And that report that was provided to the panel after the hearing. I did not get that until they requested me then to respond. I have read since then the full transcript. I can tell you that opposing counsel has cited the April 14th, 2014 letter. It is as an exhibit in there. I don't know that it says anything about him being capable of going forward. It certainly does say that it is a desire of Mr. Harper to become an attorney, and that is obvious. It was obvious to me 5 years ago, and it is still obvious today that he has that desire. I do not have firsthand knowledge of his mental capabilities or emotional capabilities.
And she doesn't say in that letter that you're talking about that, that he is fully recovered from the condition that allowed him to be diagnosed in, I guess it was 2010, of inability to have any kind of meaningful work and earn a living and therefore discharge his student loans.
She does not say that in here, Your Honor. It is a very short one paragraph.
Is it in the record that we have?
It's in the record that was sent to me, Your Honor, and it's also was an exhibit as part of opposing counsel's argument before the panel.
And it's dated, what date is it, please?
April 14, 2014. It's a one paragraph letter.
Thank you.
To sort of argue the contrary, obviously.
Wait, counsel, let's stay with that, if we may. April of 2014, correct?
Correct.
And the hearing before the panel was in May of 2014?
Correct. I'm only bringing up the letter that was counsel had cited.
And who's that letter to?
To whom it may concern. It was brought forth as part of the argument at the panel or for
okay,
the panel.
Okay, and that's, I'm back to my original question then.
Yes.
The report and recommendation of the panel here goes at length in painting a very negative picture of this person in 2010. And it is this recommendation that you, I assume, are advocating today, that you're hoping that we adopt this report and recommendation of the panel, correct?
Not entirely correct, Your Honor. My position has always been that somewhere down the road people can change. The panel's decision and the board adopted was that he should never be allowed to take the bar. I have never made that position.
And my question is did that panel have that letter of April 2014 before it when it wrote this report and recommendation and ignored that letter?
No, Your Honor. It had the April 14th. Before it. That was the first exhibit brought forth. What the panel received later was the 2010 filing for Mr. Harper not having to pay for his financial obligation.
His disability determination by Dr. Metz so that he could then get a further disability determination to preclude repayment of his student loans.
That is correct, Your Honor.
You indicated when you began that you were in a bit of an unusual position.
That is correct.
And I take it from your response to Justice O'Neill that the unusual position is that the recommendation of the board, not now, not ever, is not shared by the Akron Bar Association.
That's certainly part of it, Your Honor. Moreover,
explain what.
I agree with every fact that is listed as a fact within the report.
All right.
The decision that was entirely theirs, and in fact, was made with, I believe, some very helpful information regarding the finances, the credit report, as well as the 2010 information from the doctor. I never had that, and certainly I never sat in any chair other than bringing forth information from the Akron Bar as to why I did not feel back in 2011 that Mr. Harper should have been able to take the bar. Having sat through the hearing last year, I would also agree with every single one of the facts that they presented, and I did not believe he was ready to sit and take the bar. The judgment or the determination, if you will, that he was never capable, that was theirs, Your Honor, and I don't really represent them. Beyond.
Okay. Do you have any suggestion as to the appropriate outcome today?
Your Honor, a suggestion, no. I don't believe I do, to answer the question. I really had major concerns with the ability of Mr. Harper when I first interviewed him to be truthful in that in May of 2007, the investigators came to his business. He knew he was being federally investigated, and he came before the Akron Bar Association a number of times thereafter and failed to give that information to them while he was trying to pass the bar. I personally can't see how anyone can do that. I consider that a grave error, as bad as the felony itself. Now, do I believe that people can change? Yes, I do. Do I believe that these errors were very large, very massive, and you know, weigh heavily against him? Yes, I do.
Counselors, is Mr. Harper a certified public accountant?
My understanding is that he is an accountant. I don't know that he's a CPA.
Okay, so he does have the ability to perform accounting services at this time. Is that correct?
I believe the record reflects that he had, in fact, gone back to work, which would be contrary to the 2010 filing from the attorney.
So not only is he waiting to become, or hopefully, to become employed as an attorney, within several years of being declared unable to work, he is working.
Absolutely. And I believe the record shows quite a bit about what he has done differently, you know, since that time frame, kind of proving up that he very shortly after the 2010 went back to work.
Right. And just to clarify, because I'm looking at the record here to find that second report or the second letter, was that ever filed with the court, to your knowledge?
Your Honor, I wouldn't know. I was only receiving things secondhand. Okay. The copy that I have actually came as part of my file.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
To answer Justice your question, it was submitted to the panel as whatever we were, Exhibit 1. So it's part of the record.
How many times did Mr. Harper take the bar exam?
Probably four. This court had, in 2009, had given him accommodation, disability accommodation. And I'd also like to point out that when Dr. Metz wrote her 2010 report, it was based on his situation on the day she did that, which was April of 2010. After that, the Department of Education has rules which will allow people to go back to work. And I guess they, in 2 years or so, they're going to review the situation and determine whether or not they should cancel that disability determination. Even because the Department of Education recognizes that with modern medical science, people can be not necessarily cured, but could be cured, but they can improve. I mean, things, we're out of the dark ages, I guess, and people can change, people can get well. I mean, I had just had brain surgery, and hopefully I can get well. And then I also would like to point out that Judge Economist, the sentencing judge, recognized that Mr. Harper does have strong character. He said that in his part of the sentencing hearing, which is also part of the record.
Is he currently employed full-time as an accountant right now?
Not full-time. Dr. Metz has recommended very highly or very much to Mr. Harper that he not, you know, work full-time. I hope I'm right, but I think he works about 20 to 25 hours a week.
Counsel, did you request, I'm over here,
yeah.
Did you request the delay?
No, I forget when I was hired by Mr. Harper. I requested no delay. I don't know why it took that long.
Did you ask for the hearing to occur? Did anybody move to?
Well, I didn't, no.
Okay.
Did you submit a notice of appearance in the matter once you became his attorney? which would have triggered?
Well, I know I submitted a notice of appearance.
Okay, and you don't know how long ago that was?
I'm sorry, Chief Justice, I don't remember.
A year? 2 years?
At least a year.
Okay, but it wasn't from the very beginning. He was not represented by counsel from the beginning.
No, I did not represent him at all at the beginning.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Marshal, will you adjourn court, please?
All right. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.